Welcome to the Rebecca Weiss podcast. I am super happy today because I have my favorite person in the whole wide world is here, my husband, Jonathan Weiss.
I love you. Good to be here.
Thanks for being on the show with me. Mm-hmm. My favorite person to film with is you.
Oh, wow. And after all the guests you've had, I'm still the favorite?
You're still the favorite.
That is a shock.
And what are we, babe?
Pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm pregnant and I can finally talk about it because we finally announced it and I can finally wear clothing.
Congratulations on your third child.
I know. Look, we did it together. We're a team.
We said when we were dating that we both wanted three. So we've achieved three. So everything past this is just going to be extra credit or bonus credit for us.
That's so true. I remember when we both asked each other how many kids we wanted and we were going to say it like on the count of three. Mm-hmm. And we both said three in unison and we were like, whoa, maybe we're meant to be together.
Although I feel like three is a common number that people want, but yeah.
No, we're meant to be together. Okay. That's even another thing is you're more a realist and I'm more a dreamer and that's why we're good together.
That's true.
Okay, so what are we doing here?
There is a game prepared by your production team. I think the instructions are right there if you want to share with everyone how it's going to go down.
Okay, this Valentine's special, Jonathan and I wanted to invite the viewers into our relationship and our amazing production team, who I'm staring at over there, put together a Q&A game where there are three different levels. So we're going to start with perception. Okay. Perception is all about our impressions about one another.
I'll read a question first. What was the hardest thing for you to understand about me early on? Wow, that's a good question.
God, that's so deep. We have not prepared for this
deep
at all.
Deep is what people want. So what was the hardest thing?
Give the people what they want.
That you had to learn about me early on.
I would say, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
That's a hard question. I think I would say, read the question one more time.
What was the hardest thing that you had to learn about me early on?
I think that you are for me and you want the best for me, even when I don't necessarily see that in how you act because you handle things differently than I do.
I feel like you're still learning that.
Yeah. But you are for me more than anyone else and I feel more supported by you than anyone in my entire life. So thank you. You've been amazing. But that's true. I think when you're with someone who's so different than you, you have to learn that they're going to communicate differently than you. They're going to see things differently than you. And I even had to learn how to handle myself differently than I do because for you to work as a team.
What did you think when we were probably on?
I was all over the place when
okay,
we started
so when
dating.
You visited me for the first time. You came with a friend.
Yeah.
And you guys were staying at a hotel. And I remember I was waiting for like 30 minutes in the hotel lobby.
Yeah.
Past the time that we were supposed to meet up. And finally, I was just like, that's it. And I went up to your hotel room and knocked on the door. And what did you think when I did that?
Wait, are you talking about... I think you're mixing New York with San Francisco.
I am not. I remember distinctly.
Wait, so this happened twice.
Momo Defoe. Yeah, it's happened our whole marriage, including before this episode. I sat here waiting for you. So what did you think when I was just like came to the door?
I was like, wow, this guy is assertive.
He's harassing me.
No, but I need that. Mm-hmm. So it's good. But you're like, I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm going to make this happen. And that's what I wanted in a partner.
Okay.
It's just my butt a few times. That's
all. You read me a question number one.
Okay. This question's going to be a savage answer.
All right, read it.
What was I wearing on our first date?
Okay. Our first date.
The gateway outfit.
Yeah. It was like a maroon.
Yeah. And what's maroon?
I don't forget anything. A maroon and like floral.
No, it was
longer,
just maroon.
Okay,
it
but long. Very maroon. Oh, so maroon that like you almost thought there were flowers in it. And black pants.
Yep.
And black boots, like booty boots, yeah. Not boots. Booty boots. What do they call those little booties? I don't know. I'm not very good with girls' fashion. And you had on way too much perfume. Like so much perfume that I thought I was going to
That
choke.
Was later.
Oh, that was later?
That was in the first time.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Okay. I knew. Okay, now we have to tell that story. Oh, God. These are just all terrible stories about me.
No, you're fine.
So when Jonathan and I were dating, I wanted to impress him. And so I went to Sephora and I got a bunch of samples of perfume. What are like this big.
Literally my nightmare.
And before I went on the plane, I sprayed perfume While I was on the plane, I sprayed perfume. When I got off the plane, I sprayed perfume. And Jonathan is really sensitive to smell. No.
Okay. I might be sensitive. You're supposed to spray that stuff once in the morning in front of you and kind of wave it around. And you were directly sprayed it on yourself.
I'm kind of the person, Jonathan can tell you this, I'm like all or nothing. So it's like, if I'm going to do something, I'm
going to
do it.
You're like, I'm going to smell.
If I'm
going
to cook something, there's probably too many spices in it. Like I go a little too hard because I'm a little over enthusiastic.
That's so true.
And so literally I get off the plane, I spray it again. And this wasn't like some subtle perfume. This was like some floral lady perfume. Like
a Japanese flower garden.
Don't know why I chose the strongest, most perfumiest perfume. And so Jonathan picks me up from the SF airport and I get into his car and it is like a bomb has gone off, a flower bomb. And he can't even breathe because we're in your little
Nissan. It was a four-door sedan.
Well, I'm just saying we're in a small car. We're not even, there's not even space for the perfume to air out. So tell me, so Jonathan immediately.
I think I rolled down my window and your window.
He rolled
down
all the windows and it was so funny. The moment I got in, because it's already kind of awkward when you're dating long distance and you haven't seen each other, because we dated long distance at first. And when I got in, you immediately were uncomfortable.
I think I said something, right? Or no?
You just acted kind of weird. And then you were like, I have to roll down the windows. And I remember being so embarrassed.
All right, I have a question for you.
So anyways, I don't wear perfume anymore.
But you smell good naturally, which is perfect. What has this relationship taught you about yourself?
I think that honestly getting married, which I did not know going into it, I think marriage is a really good way to actually see yourself in a new light. I think to see your blind spots and to see the things that need working on. And so this relationship not only taught me a lot about myself in terms of things that needed to be worked on, things that needed to be healed. But also I think you showed me potential within myself that I didn't even see. And you've helped steward and help foster that and help make that grow. Now I'm going to say, if you're in a marriage, it's not going to automatically happen. You have to have a spouse who's going to be supportive of you. And I think even going into you marrying me, you saw the potential. And even though it wasn't presenting in that moment, you knew that in time, things could change and we could grow, I could grow, and we could really be something together. So it's taught me a lot. If you allow marriage, if you allow yourself to be open and to hear the good and the not so easy, the hard, but knowing it's coming from a place of love, you really can grow and change and become a better person. And there's actually a book that the title is Marriage is Not to Make You Happy, It's to Make You Holy. And I just think that's true. I think God puts us, when we go into a union, we're going to become more holy people and we're going to greater reflect God's glory.
I love that. So well said.
Thanks.
All right, your turn. Category number two.
Oh, this is then finally a positive question about me.
Okay, good.
When do you think I'm at my best and who am I with and what am I doing?
You're definitely 100% at your best after you've had time with the Lord.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. It's true.
Well, because that's like my go-to. If I ever feel like you're in a funk or something's going on and it's not correct or, you know, there's an attitude or something, I'll just say, have you had a quiet time? And the answer is always no. And then once you have the quiet time, it's like a whole new person. This is the one, I always say it to you. I'm like, this is the girl that I married.
Yeah.
This is the one that I love. So that's definitely the first part, is you're definitely at your best the more time you're spending with the Lord. I mean, we're all wired and created to be in relationship with Him, but no one to me has modeled it more than you as far as, how much it can change you. I mean, you're truly a reflection of Him after you're with Him. You're more serving, you're more loving, you're more nurturing, you're kinder, you're sweeter, you're funnier, you're all the things after you've spent time with Him. So that's definitely, at least the first part of that question. What was the second part of the question?
No, you answered it.
Okay.
And I think
after you're with the Lord.
Exactly. And I think it's like a car, you can't run on empty. You have to consistently fill it back up. We're the same way. We can't just have one encounter with God. We can't just read our Bible once. We're transformed from glory to glory, from encounter to encounter.
And let me just say, you say the same thing to me. I mean, there's times where I'm grumpy or not in the right headspace, and you say you need to go, you know, go outside, go for a walk, up prayer time, go to a nothing area. And I like to be outside in nature and connect with God.
Yeah. It's so true.
All right, I'm going to read you a question from category three.
Okay.
One thing you'd never change about our relationship.
Aw, our friendship and all the good times that we have together. I would never change that. I think, you know, you have to have physical chemistry, obviously, and a love and a passion for one another. But I think the friendship is much more foundational.
I would not change our mutual hunger to serve the Lord together. I feel like that's one thing that, like, very early on, and when we were just talking, mm-hmm. that's what really drew me super close to you, was
that drew us together.
It did.
Yeah. And a sense of mission.
And what's amazing about that is it's all through the Bible that a three cord is not easily broken, you know, bringing the Holy Spirit into the relationship. And we did that when we were dating. And I feel like having that be the centerpiece has kept us through hard times, because you're going to go through hard times. We've gone through hard times.
Oh my goodness.
Having children's hard, having families that you
bring
together. Being called
into ministry is hard.
Being in ministry full time is hard. So that all of these challenges, and everybody watching has their own set of challenges. But I'd say if you bring the Holy Spirit, make Jesus the center of the relationship, then everything can work out.
That's such a good answer. And I think too, the other thing that I love about our relationship is the sense of partnership, that we have like the same vision.
Yeah, our favorite dates is when, not our favorite dates, but sometimes our favorite dates is when we do something like productive together, we're running errands together, but we're on the same mission. We have like a mission objective.
We have the same, it's like your dreams are my dreams and my dreams are your dreams, mm-hmm. in terms of I wanted to do this podcast.
That's so true.
And I couldn't have done it without you.
Right.
And then everything, all the dreams that you have, it's like they're mine. And it's like when I'm helping you accomplish those dreams, it's one of the most fulfilling things to know that we have a vision and dreams together and we're helping. It's like we're the ultimate team. And it's one of the most, you're right, one of the most satisfying things in our relationship is us accomplishing those things together.
Mm-hmm. All right, read me a question from category number three.
Finish the sentence.
The difference between me and you is you pre-screen every question. I just pick it up and read it.
Yeah. Which is, once again, an example of why being different is good.
Yeah.
Celebrate your differences. Don't fight over them. Understand that they're different for a reason.
And it's a muscle. You have to work at it. Like, it's not going to come naturally. You're going to want to...
What did Anna Kendall say to you about me?
Anna Kendall is somebody that we worked with in premarital counseling. Yeah. Who is amazing. And I mean, she gave me so much counsel
about
you.
She said something like, she's going to do it not the way you would
yes,
do it.
Yes, this was monumental. yeah, something like that. She's going to do it not necessarily the way that you would have done it, you know, but I don't remember exactly how she said it or even the context in which we were talking about this, but it was something to the effect of, it's going to get done.
It's going to get done.
You know, it's just going to happen in a way that you're not used to.
So don't get frustrated, you know? And so that's a huge word of advice, is learn to celebrate the differences and know that it helps bring balance to your relationship versus being frustrated by them. Because when you get married, your difference is all.
But I would also add to that and say, look, there's a reason why you're my partner and I'm your partner is mm-hmm. because you could shed light into blind spots that I wouldn't necessarily see, and vice versa. I could shed light into blind spots. So where you might think everything's okay and I'm doing this and it's great, I could say, actually, there's this little area, and then you can receive that. And then same for me.
Yeah.
I could be doing something, you know, say I'm talking to my kids the wrong way or, you know, whatever it is. And then you could shed light into that. And if you're open and transparent and trusting that other person, you can receive that and not be defensive. You know, and be like, oh no, that's the way you do it, or this is the way I do it. And you just learn. And if you continue to go that with that model, it's like iron sharpening iron, and you just get better and better together.
And I think the quicker you can learn to just have the mindset of serving one another, forgiving one another, and doing that quickly mm-hmm. so that you're not in a place of contention, but you're in a place of harmony, I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't fight over the small stuff, and just, it's not about being right. It's about being rightly related to one
Righteous.
Another. Exactly.
Okay. What's the question? You never read the question.
Finish this sentence. I'm proudest of you for what?
I'm proudest of you for the person that you are. I'm proudest of you for what? I'm practicing my answers. I had no time to think about this.
These are good.
I'm proudest of you for the mother that you've become. I'm really proud of you. I mean, I've seen you have one kid, two kids, and now you're pregnant with our third. And what an incredible, like, blessing you have been to my children and to me as, you know, not just my wife, but as their mother. And that's something that you really, you know, when you're dating someone, you get to know them, but you don't know what they're going to be like as a parent. That's a whole nother thing. I mean, unless you go into, you know, a second marriage or something like that, and they already have kids, you know, that's something that you're going to figure out in real time.
That's true.
So I'm so proud of you because of that. And now we have our third kid coming. So there's going to be a whole new level for me to be proud about you.
Thank you. And I think being a parent, I think we both can agree, is such a fulfilling thing. I think it's one of the best jobs we have.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so true that God created us to have families. And that's why it's so sad that there's such an attack on on people and culture, raising children, having kids. It's like, because God most definitely created us, because he's shown me and you so much of our relationship with him, God the Father, through our relationship with our children.
And just like I was talking about how marriage will challenge you and make you grow, children are a whole nother level of challenge you and making you grow. But if you embrace it, you'll become a way better person. It works out selfishness within you,
mm-hmm.
which is so important, because to be in the kingdom of God and to serve Christ, we have to learn selflessness.
Okay. Do you want a question from category 1, 2, or 3?
Should we even explain what the other categories were? 1 was perception, 2 is connection, is going deeper, and then 3 is reflection, where we reflect. Do another number 3 since it's the deepest level.
Number 3 is reflection?
Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time you felt lucky to be by a significant other? Get specific. Don't say all the time. That doesn't count.
I really do feel that way all the time.
Nope. They said you can't say that.
I know, but didn't I just say this to you last night? I said, you're doing such a good job of being a husband and taking care of me.
Did you say that because you're preparing for the Valentine's Day episode?
No, it's because I think we're in a really good season of our marriage. And
I agree.
You have been doing on it. I'll say it on this public platform. I've been saying it to you in private all the time. You're doing a great job, not only being a father, but being a husband specifically.
Okay, so the answer was yesterday.
All the time.
No, the answer was yesterday.
Last night.
All right. Last question. What would you tell yourself on our first date if you had the chance? Don't wear perfume.
Stop. I would say, if I could tell myself anything on the first date, I would say enjoy this moment, season of your life, because it's going to go by fast, because life accelerated so quickly for us when we got married. We got pregnant.
Not even getting married. Once we started dating. Because from the time that we started dating to getting engaged was like, what? 7 months?
It was a very fast process because you moved here and it was a lot of change.
Well, I didn't move here until we were engaged.
But I'm saying we didn't date very long until we were engaged. And then when you're engaged, you moved here, and then we planned our wedding, and then we got married, and then
how
we got
long
pregnant.
After we were engaged,
7 months later,
did we get
married? From dating
married?
To married, it was about a year and a couple months.
Okay. But engaged to married was what?
We got engaged in November. Okay. No, we got engaged at the very end of October. You moved in November, and then we got married in May.
Wow, that is fast.
It was a lot of, we got a home, you moved here. Like, we did a lot of change very quickly.
So what was the question?
So I would tell myself, enjoy it, because that really was such a fun season of life to just be dating.
But the
good
news
is
we've never not dated.
Now life is more, you know, intense. We have always
dated. We've always dated. So ever since we've been married, which is now over 5 years, we've always gone on a date once a week. We've never missed it.
Which now more than ever, I'm
but that's,
more thankful
that's
for
monumental.
Those date nights.
I mean, most people don't carve out that amount of time for one another.
And I would say carve out that time.
You have to, honestly.
Because, I mean, you could just
especially
be drowning.
Especially when you start having kids. There's just no
especially
way.
Especially when you start having kids. And I would say don't turn all your affection towards your children. You need to have affection for one another.
And they're little attention or affection suckers.
And it's easy to get so caught up in your kids. And you cannot get caught up in your kids and leave your spouse at the wayside. That's just, you can't. And I think people say that a lot, but I think it's harder to practice than it's easier to say the advice than to put it into practice. And so, yes, we go on a date night every night. But I mean, up until this year, I'm glad we always had the habit of it. But this year, and I think it's because our life is more full and it's full of blessings. We're busy. I love our lives. But I'm more thankful than ever for that date night. Every night that we get to go, we're like, oh, thank God. Because just
and
to
it's
spend
not
time
some epic
one-on-one.
Thing. It's just 3 hours that we carve out.
And it's really not epic. It's not overly anything. It's just getting to spend time with just you. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Maybe it's because we both have that love language quality time. Because maybe somebody who's not quality time, they don't need to do dates. I don't know.
It's not the same when you have your kids with you.
We can only speak from our marriage.
Or even with, you know, it's not the same if you have your kids with you or other people with you. It's that one-on-one time.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the Rebecca Weiss podcast.
Thank you for being here.
I'll be back in 2025 for Valentine's episode.
Here, shake on it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yes. I'm sorry I made you lean back like that. Hey, any last words?
No, I would just say I'm so proud of you and I'm so blessed by this podcast and what we're achieving with it. I think it's reaching so many people in so many different walks. And I know that you're called to do incredible ministry. And so I'm blessed that Daystar has provided this awesome platform for you. And I'm excited for this next season.
I'm excited too. Thank you for being here. And thank you for listening or watching the Rebecca Weiss podcast.